It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy shit. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than drinking from the mini bar in the Dominican Republic. You can join the chat room by going the Den Pen, which is the chat room, by going to Davin's Den, DavinComedy.com. Davin's Den will take you there too. You got to change what I write. DavinComedy. It takes you to the same place. DavinComedy.com and clicking live broadcast. I'm your mouthful of marbles host, Davin Rosenblatt. I'm joined by Pip Elix.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Pip.
Hey.
Joe will be here soon on the show, Comics in the News, as Jon Stewart testifies in front of Congress on behalf of the 9/11 first responders.
Yes.
New York has a new law, which some say is a violation of religious freedom when it comes to vaccines, drunks in the news, and the hazard of drinking in the Dominican Republic, and scam busters with Anjax. Right before the show, I was introducing Pip to some good old rock and roll.
Yes, we were listening to Skid Row.
Yes, believe it or not, kids, Pip was fairly unfamiliar with the Skid Row. I played the hits off the first album. Not really any recognition.
I think the best way to describe the look that I gave you while I was waiting for the chorus to see if I recognized it was.
Listen, I mean, Youth Gone Wild, 18 in Life, and I Remember. Anybody from that period, those songs were on all the time if you were listening to any sort of pop or rock radio.
I guess I wasn't listening to those stations that played that. You know?
Yeah, your head buried in stupid 102.7 and Scotso with the fucking Beatles.
No, actually, yes, I do listen to that.
Well, you can't listen to it now. He's dead.
I
and 102.7 does not play rock.
Classic. I'm just trying to think of what I was. I don't think I was listening to a lot of radio. I think I was just playing my CDs over and over.
CDs in 88. Look at you, fancy.
I know.
I don't think I had any CDs in 88. I was cassette boy.
I was cassette girl for a really long time, and I finally, you know, said, okay, fine, I'll buy things on CDs. And, of course, you know.
I did, and now those are being gone, too, but I'm still buying CDs.
I do, too.
And you know what? I'll still pick up a cassette. I don't give a shit. Why? Because I listen to my cassettes in the car. That's right. I fucking USB it, motherfuckers, and I love every goddamn moment of it. I was blasting both of Firehouses, the first two Firehouse albums, on cassette in the car because I had one of those high-definition blank cassettes that I recorded on. Mm-hmm. Remember, they were like, so, like,
yes.
Oh, this will make it sound better. Yeah, turns out, 30 years later, they were fucking right.
Yeah, you know what? They do hold up if you don't keep them on the back seat of your car.
I most certainly do not.
Yeah.
So then we moved on. So Pip really didn't recognize that. So we go, well, their second album wasn't as big, but there was a couple of songs that were known. And I played, Monkey Business,
right.
Which you like, which is a rocking tune.
Yeah.
The second Skid Row album, they really picked up their fucking balls rock.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And Slave to the Grind, which another like great too. Rocking tune, which holds up very well in 2019.
It does. You know, I wasn't. I can't say that I was a big fan of hair band metal.
This was not hair band sounding.
No, it wasn't. That's what I was expecting.
This was straight grab your balls or clit, whatever the fuck you're going to grab. Rock.
Ooh.
That's what the second album, Slave to the Grind. They really picked it up as far as the rock. Now, I was not as into that at the time as I was into the first album, which is a little bit more poppy. And then the third album, they went like all the way heavy, Subhuman, and nobody gave a shit. By the time the third Skid Row album rolled around, nobody gave a shit. The reason I bring up Skid Row is because they are coming to New York in September. And Sebastian Bach, the lead singer, who's no longer with the band because they're morons, all of them, is going to be playing that iconic first album, self-titled Skid Row album, from beginning to end, and that's a really good rock album. So I was thinking of going to New York and see that. And yeah, so I think I made a little bit of a Skid Row fan and Pip a little bit.
I'm certainly more interested in them than I was before. I didn't realize that they had like that second album that I from the two cuts that I heard, I liked that.
It holds up. I got it in cassette, and I was looking at the cassette. It's like one of the melted cassettes because I left it in the car.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
But now it fucking holds up. Now, it's funny I bring up the music holding up and how it rocks out.
Okay.
I'm in the supermarket the other day looking for a Father's Day card for my dad. Now, one of the nice things about going in the supermarket this day is very often I will hear my music, the music I grew up with.
Yes.
You know, so as I'm looking for broccoli, I will hear some Whitesnake. You know, maybe I'll hear some Twisted Sister.
I know. It's crazy. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm digging the supermarket music.
No, the supermarket plays way better music than the music stations do around
here. Yeah.
Which in itself, because you've got to remember, when I was growing up, these were our fucking rock anthems. This is when you grab jeans, you get your fists in the air, your hair growing out. Go, nah, Dad, you don't understand, man. You know, just like every other generation did before.
Yeah.
This was the fucking anthem.
Right.
And now you're looking at Peaches. Well, you listen to this. Well, that's bad enough. That's bad enough. And, you know, and before that, it was car, you know, they were selling Hondas with it. You know,
Peaches.
You know, that's bad enough. Hondas. All right, I get it. Ugh, I get it. I guess this is where we're going. Now, you know, they're selling insurance to the music. I go, ugh, can it get any worse? You think it can't get any fucking worse?
You think.
Than the music you rebel to.
Right.
There are music where you fucking slam the front door on your parents' house and walked out because you were too young to drive.
I'll show you, stomp, stomp, stomp.
Yes, when you had all those fucking hormones and no fucking car.
Yes.
Where I had my little bandana wrapped tight around my head, my hair down to the middle of my back, gonna fucking rock out.
I have to see pictures of this.
Oh, they're around.
I've never seen the long hair pictures. I need to see this.
It was mullety. It was a mullet.
Yeah, but that's okay because that was the time. Okay then. But it's like, I have to see this.
No, yeah. There was a time I would wear like a bandana to school and not like the do-rag type, like Danielson from Karate Kid. I used to look like Ralph Macchio.
Yeah.
I mean, like when I was 15, 16, and that's when all this shit was cool. And I still love that music. Now, I listen to today's music. I'm never one of the go, oh, these kids with today's music. I get it. I totally get that every generation has their own music.
Yep.
And I'm never one like other people's on this show. And not when it comes to music, but just in general, look down to newer shit. When it comes to music, everybody's fairly open on this show.
Yeah, I think so.
Everybody's fairly open to new stuff. Some we like, some we don't like. All right, so I've taken the cuts of food shopping. I've taken the cuts when my favorite band and other bands I love are selling cars. Their music is selling cars.
Yeah.
And god-awful insurance. I get it.
Yeah.
You know what? I took it all in stride.
Uh-oh. What happened?
An indignity that I don't think I can get past.
I'm afraid. Like, products are running through my mind.
So I'm in the shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Looking for, pardon me, a Father's Day card for my dad. And I see one. It's a musical card. It has cute little hedgehogs on it. Adorable little hedgehogs.
Yeah.
And it's a musical card.
Fun.
And it was Nothing But a Good Time by Poison. When the music you rebel to is in a Hallmark card, you've lost the rebellion.
Yeah.
It is over.
Done.
And listen, Poison wasn't one of the hardest bands.
No.
I get it. But you've got Nothing But a Good Time off that second album, Open Up and Say, Ah, that was a fucking damn good party song right there.
Yeah.
That was a solid album, a lot of good stuff. I get it. They were pretty and they wore makeup and shit.
Yeah.
I get it. They weren't that hard. But that was a solid fucking rock album where anybody who wanted to go on the Saturday night, nothing but a good time. It was about partying and drinking and girls, which I had no access to of any of these things at the time.
So it sounded spectacular.
It most certainly did.
Yeah.
And the video was a beautiful young Brett Michaels. He's still beautiful, just not young.
You're right.
He's washing. I think it was Brett Michaels. Maybe they had another blonde. I don't know. Is washing dishes in some kitchen, and his boss is giving him a hard time, man. He's the dishwasher, and he's had enough of it. And he kicks open the door, and there's all this confetti, and there's fucking poison. It's like, woo! Nothing but a good time on Saturday night. And now it's fucking hedgehogs on a Father's Day card. It's over. The rebellion is over. And all you fucking kids that think it's not going to happen to your music, oh, it will.
Oh, totally.
21 Pilots, I guess that's one of your rock bands. They have a couple songs I like. You know what? They're going to be fucking pushing shit like that, too.
Yep.
They're going to be pushing, like, colostomy bags or whatever the fuck is next. It all comes full circle. So enjoy your music, enjoy your youth, but just remember, they all need to pay their bills. They all fucking sell out,
yeah.
And they're gonna steal your fucking rebellion with it. And that was so disgusting that I had to post it on Instagram. Because that's what I do now. When I'm outraged, I post it on Facebook and Instagram, because that's where my rebellion went.
Yes, that's where I share my angst.
Ugh. But I mean, really? I mean, what else is left? I mean, I think pushing Hallmark cards is a step below the Muzak version of a song.
Oh, no, no,
because somebody did that to the music.
But Muzak was egregious. That was the most terrible thing that they did to songs that we liked. And we're like, ah! You know,
listen, man.
Elevator rides can be very, very long when you're listening to your favorite songs
tortured. I've made peace with the fact that a lot of our rock songs and rock ballads that I grew up with wind up on Light FM and easy listening.
Yes.
The shit that was too hard for them 30 years ago is now a staple of it.
Sure.
I made peace with it. I made peace with my music being on the oldies station. I actually rather enjoyed that. Like, cool. Another preset
are on the news. Like, if you listen to CBS AM in the morning.
I most certainly do not.
Well, that's what I listened to when I was on my way to work at the old day program. And I would listen to that, and they would, like, put in little snippets of songs that I love. And I'm like, oh, my God. Songs I love are now the news bumper. Oh, crap. I couldn't believe it.
Still.
But those guys are my age, probably.
Still.
You know?
Not pushing Hallmark cards with cute little hedgehogs.
But that was never a rock song.
That was never.
I know. But I'm just saying, I recently
got. Do you know the song Nothing But a Good Time?
Nothing But a Good Time.
Yes.
Na, 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 na. I don't know the words.
I would pull it up on the computer, but it
don't need nothing but a good time,
and it don't get better than this.
Hey, yeah,
you can pull it up on the computer if you want to crank it real quick.
Will people hear it?
If you put a speaker by it,
oh, okay,
you can just play a little bit. You go to YouTube,
okay. Yeah,
and Poison, Nothing But a Good Time. I think most people know that song.
I think they do.
Yeah, so. I mean, I didn't want to. I wasn't necessarily going to open the show with this, but it was just interesting that we were like rocking out. But you know what? I will say this: the Skid Row songs that I played to you off "Slave to the Grind," I don't see how hedgehogs will be pushing those for Hallmark cards.
I know.
Like "Slave to the Grind" could actually be like Bernie Sanders' walk-up music. Because, you know, he's talking about don't need to buy when
is,
you're a slave to the grind.
It's not playing out loud.
No, well, you got to turn up the volume. I shut off the volume on
right,
there.
Right, right.
Shut off the volume, put the microphone by, grab Joe's mic.
Well, now they're just doing dishes.
All right.
Oh, that's not him.
Put it by the speaker.
Where is the speaker?
I don't know. I think it's towards the bottom.
From the side, the kid looks like Kevin Bacon, but I know it's not. Oh, there it is. He kicks open the door, and it's a concert. That's pretty cool.
This was the shit.
I mean, I understand glam rock. There's something about these guys I just went,
They were very pretty.
Yeah.
No, they were the L.A. glam rock scene. Now, Bret Michaels was from Pittsburgh.
Is he?
He's a Pennsylvania kid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this was the shit. Now it's selling hedgehogs. I'm selling Father's Day cards.
That was a cool little spot there where three of them are sliding on their knees across the stage.
Oh, very choreographed, the Rock of Yesteryear. Yeah.
That's nothing wrong with that. What's the name of the guy with the huge...
CC DeVille?
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name.
He was trained under Yitzhak Perlman.
Get out of here.
These guys didn't get any fucking respect, but they were good musicians.
Well, you just never know that, though. You expect everybody is just this, oh, I just play in my garage and I...
No, these guys were fucking good musicians.
It's funny.
Like, and I get why this is... I get why this song is moving merchandise, but this was such a fucking rock song. Not a rock song.
I know, but now it's become partying little cute hedgehogs.
I will
tell
you.
Were they in costumes?
I don't remember. It's on my Instagram, Davin Comedy. Look it up on Instagram. But I do think more people appreciate this music now.
Yeah, well.
It's coming back. Because for a long time, if it was anything hair.
Yeah,
metal,
people would go, no,
first
no.
First of all, hair metal is very derogatory.
Yes, it is.
But like all this music was dismissed, but now people are like, all right, you know what? It's not so bad.
Well, I think that there's a. I'm going to just turn this down a little bit because I think this might be too loud for us to talk over. There. But I think that. People called it that because they just thought it was derivative.
Yeah.
And it is. It's poppy. It's just straight ahead rock and roll.
The scene got blown out. By the time Poison came around, it was blown out already.
Yeah, people were done
with
it.
But some of the music is still good.
Yeah, I mean, it's a poppy good time.
Listen.
I do understand the temptation for somebody that's working for one of these, you know, card companies to go, wouldn't it be cute?
Sure.
If we mix this with something like cute looking. I mean, actually, if you look at CeCe's hair, he is a little hedgehog.
Funny. Now, here's the genius of Poison. Mm-hmm. If you listen to Bret Michaels, there's not a great amount of range there.
No.
Bret Michaels is the lead singer. Like, you listen to Skid Row Sebastian Bach. Guy's a great singer.
Oh,
that's
my
a,
God.
Guy was on Broadway.
He had quite, or maybe just still does have, quite
great
a
pipes.
Range.
But Poison was very smart. They fucking wrote songs to his range.
Right.
Well, like he's not a great, but he's great in concert. I've seen him in concert. Right. He loves the fans, and they made fun tunes.
I loved watching Rock of Love.
Oh yeah. Oh, you watching Double Shot of Love?
No.
Really?
I'm not.
Do you know what it is?
I do.
But you like the Jersey Shore.
I do, but I just got I got turned off watching all those girls that were going for Vinny and
that's a good time.
And yeah.
It's a good time. It's almost over. Jersey Shore is coming back.
I couldn't watch those girls.
Oh, please.
There
good
were
time.
Because I think that they were like, you know, they were like stereotypical Guidettes. But the thing is that
lovely women.
But most of them were like the stereotype. And the thing is that at least on Rock of Love, there was quite a variety, and they were all characters in one way or another. So it was watching the train wreck. That
on
was really
a Rock of Love, which was a Bret Michaels dating vehicle, which he did two seasons of, there was a lot more sex than there is on the Double Shot of Love.
Oh, my God, yeah. And I was just like, I see this, and I'm just picturing VD, VD, VD. You know,
it's Vinny. It's Vinny and Paulie D.
And Paulie.
So it is VD. Well, it is VD in a way.
But like I was thinking, you know, like I see the smush room or the smash room.
Nobody's smushing there. Nobody's smushing. I mean, some of the guys are hooking up with three chicks a night. Yeah. I mean, I would never want to be in that situation. It's just very uncomfortable. But
yeah.
But
yeah.
But you're a Jersey Shore fan. I feel it whets the appetite to get us ready for the debut of Jersey Shore, July 11th.
No, I have my other trash TV favorites that are keeping me quite.
No.
I have discovered that Hulu has the Real Housewives franchises going back to the first the first seasons that I didn't see.
Ugh.
But you know what?
Classic Housewives.
Well, it was actually, it set up the situation, who they were and what their particular problems were.
I used to see. See, what happens is when you're on the road, a lot of times you have only basic cable.
Sure.
So
that's,
you know,
who you're talking to, basic cable girl.
Yeah. So like on a Saturday afternoon before the show, you watch a couple hours of that shit.
Right.
But I can't anymore. I'm just so uninterested in these fake bitches. They don't have personalities that I give two fucking shits about. You know, I hope when the terrorists come back, they start with each episode of The Housewives.
There are some terrible people on those shows.
Yeah, I got no interest in Jersey Shore. They're not terrible people.
They're not.
No, and even the situation. You know, he's in jail now, but he reformed himself.
He was very mature, and he could be quite a dick.
But thank God for him, made it very interesting.
But you know what? Watching Sam and
Ronnie
go at it was just
a toxic relationship.
It was terrifying because you know. I was watching, and she would be like, the most annoying girl ever.
I know.
Because, you know, like, come talk to me. Talk to me. No, look in my face. Look in my,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like,
but listen, I don't want to rehash Ronnie and Sammy from fucking 10 years ago.
No.
I don't give a shit about them.
I watched him rip up all her shit and throw it out on the porch. And I thought if anybody did that to me, I would be like, first on the front of the cops. Secondly, I would not be getting back with this person.
Yeah, you know, no, you don't know.
Look what they did to my room.
I relate. I've been in that relationship.
I know you have.
So I relate to the. Now, I was not as old as those two were.
Right.
And I was not doing it on national TV. But
right.
I've been in a toxic relationship. It becomes a vicious cycle. I love you. I hate you. Why do you make me so mad? I act this way because I love you so much.
Right.
And you buy into it. And I'm going to do better. And I'm so sorry. Rinse, repeat. Yeah. And
sure.
And Sammy, you know, she wants nothing to do with it. Good for her.
Well, you
and
know,
Ronnie's still in one of those relationships.
I know. Oh, God, it's worse now.
Yeah. But anyway, Jersey Shore, July 11th.
Oh, my God.
You going to watch?
Sure.
I think it's like situation getting married. I think that's what this is.
I know. But you know what? I think that I actually was pleasantly surprised to see who he is later in life as an adult. You know?
He's a little bit more boring now.
No, but I like this kid.
You like him because all he does is eat. And that's something we can relate to.
No. I mean, I think it's funny that they bust his hump about that. But I think that he's much more mature. And the things coming out of his mouth, I'm like, that sounds like a grown-up. Who are you?
Yeah, it's fucking cliche.
Give
me Instigator Sitch.
I know.
I need this for my television entertainment.
Well, I am a big fan of Below Deck.
No idea what that is.
Oh, they're the people that run the ship. These people take those.
What's that, like on Bravo or A&E?
Yeah, Fabulous Cruises.
I have my limits. I can't. Because, you know, there's just so much of the schlock TV I can watch. Like, I invested in Jersey Shore.
Okay.
You know, here's the thing. I'll turn something on and go, oh, this looks good. And the wife goes, oh, what's this trash? Then she fucking settles in and she's on for the ride. So I have to be very judicious with what I'm going to do. So Jersey Shore is my jam. Deadliest Catch is my jam.
No.
All the Chef Ramsay shows
are
my Top Chef. You know, I'm loyal to certain shit, and now I'm exploring non-reality TV now that I got the Jailbreak Fire Stick.
I was on board when reality TV first started, you know, like The Real World, the first.
I remember that.
The first season.
Was not nearly as good as when they fucking brought Puck aboard.
Oh.
You need an Instagram.
Oh, that guy. Oh, yeah, I know, but the.
And Pablo, was that his name? Pedro.
Pedro was the guy that he was, like, tormenting.
With the AIDS guy.
Yeah. You know, he had AIDS, and this guy would, like, stick his fingers in the peanut butter. It's like, you're so unhygienic. All those people. Well, I mean, But the Below Deck people, it's reality TV. It's all the usual stuff about people having squabbles and, you know, interpersonal relationships and who's hooking up with who and all that nonsense.
But it's not even
real.
But
it's also a class war. You know,
class war.
Well, yes, because it's the people who do all the drudgery work. It's like upstairs, downstairs, because the people that are on the yachts, oh, look at us. Oh, they're serving us caviar. Oh, excuse me, drone, could you go get me my mixed drink? But I need essence of lavender in it. You know, I mean, like the most pretentious people who have more money than sense.
Seems completely staged.
No, well, you know what? A lot of it, I'm sure, is.
Yeah.
But I do, I get drawn in, oh. And I like the interpersonal conflict, and I'm all about Mila, the woman who says she's a chef, and the woman cannot put I can put together food better than this woman. She was microwaving steaks on, to warm them up.
Well,
they
have limited, you know, room in a fucking ship.
No. This is supposed to be cordon bleu, 5-star service, and she was throwing nacho shells from a box on the plate, and the... the captain having to walk through it. She goes, "Oh, is this for the crew?" And she's like, "No, it's for the guests." And she's like, "This is for the guests? Like, you're making Taco Bell for the guests who have paid tens of thousands of dollars and expect the cordon bleu chef material food?"
Fuck them. Give them Taco Bell.
It's a great show.
Fuck them.
I'm all in.
Well, I wrote a show. With a couple of other people that you were part of a scissor reel for.
Yes.
And then and now here's the thing. The show is very mean. At least that's the feedback we got.
Yeah.
That it was cruel.
Okay.
So Kevin
happy to be part of it.
Yeah. There's a frog outside or something.
There is, and it's right by the door and really loud.
Yes. God damn it.
If you hear ribbiting, that's not me for a change.
No. So I wrote the show with Chip Ambrosio and Kevin Israel, and we were actually working on softening it up because people said it was too fucking mean. Lo and behold, show's kind of, somebody, you know, and we pitched this show a year ago, and we've been working to tweak it, and the same exact show is coming out on one of these streaming channels with a fucking celebrity.
Yep.
Same exact show. It's like, I guess that's a year of wasted work.
I was debating whether to send you that email going...
yeah, that was nice Saturday morning. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I was like, oh, God, look at this shit. But I'd rather that you know that it's in production, it's actually going on, rather than, you know, you're still working on it. They're like, dude, that show's on TV already.
I learned a couple of things from that. First of all the experts were fucking wrong. I was right. The more awful and cruel it is, the fucking more people will watch it. I was correct on that.
Yes.
Also, I learned you need a celebrity, so we are approaching a celebrity with the same exact fucking show, because as Chip brought up, all these networks have copycat shit anyway.
Yeah, they do.
So I thought of the celebrity that he has worked with.
Okay.
Who has a natural tie into that, which I will tell you off air. I'm not going to say it on air.
No, because God knows, you know.
Well, if he says no, I don't want that embarrassment.
Well, yeah, but also, you know, people steal everything.
Right. Well, clearly.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I don't know that this probably wasn't stolen. Although it's like, how could an idea this fucking bad be replicated to the fucking T?
There are. I'm sorry. That frog is so loud.
I'll tell you what, if this was Naked and Afraid, that frog would not be this close.
No, because we would be stabbing it and, like,
eating
putting it on the fire.
Yes, yes.
At least I would. Mm-hmm. Joe's girl's here, and she's asking me if it's a bullfrog, and I'm like, I don't know.
It's a bull dyke frog. It's got a very short haircut.
Well, how would you know? You haven't seen its partner.
I can tell.
You can tell. So, yeah, there's a lot of time that people will... You know, like two comedians will come up with the same joke on current events, you know, and they don't necessarily have stolen it from each other. But when it's like precisely down to the letter, you go, huh.
This seemed like it
was where'd my tape go?
This seemed like it was precisely down to the letter.
It did. That's why I mean, like, I was drinking coffee and I almost spit it up on myself. I was like, oh, crap. No way. And I was like, I'm reading it and I'm like, this can't. What? Uh-oh. And I, you know, it's like I knew I was going to, like, upset you, but I was like, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just upsetting you. It's upsetting because you put all that fucking work in it. We laid money out into
sure.
it. And it's just really interesting how people had a visceral reaction that they fucking hated it because what we were doing was so mean. Which is the reaction, which is a lot of the buzz that this show's getting that's out there now.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a lot of visceral, like... But the interesting thing is, we were doing it as a bunch of zilches. They have a celebrity attached, and like, this is even worse because it's a celebrity doing this shit to people.
I never heard of that kid.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, I didn't know who he was.
And he has another show on that streaming service, a very popular show.
Well, so I knew that that's how, you know, if you have a name, a lot of times things will get the green light that wouldn't if you're... But they make mistakes doing that because great ideas come with nobody attached. And it's like, that's how they get to be famous.
Well,
duh.
I mean, I think that's what we're working on. That's what we're dealing with the script that we're writing with Joe.
Yeah, because I was not nice in your sizzle reel. Not, you know.
That's not even the worst part of it. But
No. But I mean, no, it's not. But I mean, like, I know my character was really not nice, and
your character was single-minded.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
She was focused.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah,
career-driven.
No, just.
No. She's fine. She was exactly how we wrote it.
Well, good. I think, but
yeah, absolutely. No.
But what was the part? Who? Well, maybe tell me who in the sizzle reel was the part that they most viscerally
just the whole fucking concept.
The whole concept. Being mean to somebody.
Yeah, being mean to people in this position.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But we fixed it. We fucking fixed it. We fixed the idea.
Okay.
So we were just working about what we were going to do with the scissor reel with the shit we already shot.
Yeah.
That's where we were. We had fixed the fucking idea.
Okay.
So we would not be reviled.
Right.
No, because that was the thing. Well, it's kind of similar with Joe's character and the pilot that we're working on for
yes.
Joe. A lot of people did not like. I don't like this guy at all.
Yeah.
So we.
Why should I care about him?
Exactly.
He's a douchebag.
So we wrote things in there, so people would care about Joe.
Right.
So, but you know, I think that has legs. It's hard when you don't have a name attached. But there is a name that I think should be attached, and you know, we've spoken to Joe about it, and you know, Joe agrees. It's just you know how Joe is with some of his friends. He gets you know, he's hesitant to push.
Yeah, I know.
Which I understand.
Yeah,
but I think
he wants to pick his projects that he like, or
it's not
things
even
that he
no,
asks
it's not
about.
Even pick his projects per se. I don't think he wants to impose.
Yeah,
which is charming.
Yeah,
but and nice, but in the world that we live in entertainment, it really is a coattail motherfucking world.
It is, and also it's like if you have a connection, you're kind of beholden to use it.
And he explained that this person was very, very busy with things, and I said, I understand that completely.
Yeah.
But we just need this person to do the heavy lifting initially, and then as far as I'm concerned, they're just going to get a fucking paycheck if this gets made. They don't have to do anything else. You'll see Mark Wahlberg is an executive producer and shit. You never see him on.
No, right.
But they needed somebody to be with a name to get the shit greenlit.
Yeah.
Not that this person is Mark Wahlberg, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's, you know, somebody in Joe's life is very talented, has a provable track record.
Right.
And I think Joe and myself and Chip, I think we believe in the project. What I also learned is because we've been getting all this feedback on this thing, and we've really used it to hone it. But there were certain aspects that we were getting, and I'm like, I don't know. And now after seeing, you know, that all these people that told me the shit I was writing before was too mean, go, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to stick to my guns on this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is important, and we'll explain. Because what happens is, at least what we're finding right now, is when you write a pilot, it's essentially 25 to 28 minutes of screen time.
Right.
Everybody wants all the answers right now. And that's just not how TV works.
No.
It's like, so that they wanted us to cut certain aspects, and we were thinking of doing it, but I'm like, no, fuck it. I go, give me a season. This shit will make sense. I promise you. I'm giving you breadcrumbs right now. This shit will make sense down the line.
Yeah.
And I think
I'm not going to tell you how it ends, for God's sakes.
And I think Joe's on board with that, and I think Chip is on board with that now. So I'm a little bit more, since this setback, I'm a little bit more to my guns. And, you know, here's the thing. With my comedy and with this radio show, say what you want about this fucking radio show. Say it's a complete waste of time and complete failure. We've actually gotten a lot of shit accomplished with it.
Yeah.
And more or less, it's because I believed in myself. I stuck to my guns, and I had a fucking vision for the type of thing that we should be doing and put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And more often than not, it's been rewarded. With some breaks, yeah. It could certainly be much bigger.
Sure.
But it's been rewarded. And the same thing with the comedy. I don't really model myself after any other comics.
No.
And say what you want about my comedy career, but more often than not, it's been fucking rewarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm going to do that with the writing. I think I know what people will watch or listen to or hear and want to be entertained with, and it's not the stuff that's out there. I'm not one to follow what has already been done.
Right.
I mean, I'm not necessarily reinventing the wheel.
No, but how many times I'm sure in pitch meetings is everything derivative.
Listen,
everything.
If somebody's going to buy the show and they want us to change stuff, well, then I have a conversation. If you're going to throw money at me.
Yeah. I mean, money talks.
Right. But at this point, that's not happening with the pilot we wrote for Joe.
Right.
We're not at that aspect of it yet.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to stick to the guns a little bit on this because it's important for the main character. It really has to do with the main character, which is Joe. It's important.
A version of Joe.
A version of Joe. Yes, I mean, the show is loosely based on Joe. There are obviously, you know, it's fiction. It's a fictional show. So you take Joe's, and a part of Joe's life, that's the skeleton.
Right.
And then you flesh it out.
Right.
I'm
saying that because if it ever comes to fore, I don't want people to think, that's absolutely Joe's life. It's like, no, I mean, it's the basis.
But that's why they couldn't, like, a lot of times they'll, like, buy a show, and then the people who made the show are completely...
Oh, yeah.
They're completely gotten rid of. But the beautiful thing about this is, well, first of all, you need Joe because he's got a fucking boatload of fucking stories that you wouldn't believe, which is why when I was approached, you know, somebody said, well, you want to write something? I go, let's talk. And Joe wasn't involved. I go, let's talk about Joe.
Yeah.
This motherfucker's fascinating.
As I said to somebody that I was arguing with on Facebook recently, I'd like to put a slice of his brain under a microscope and study it.
Joe's?
Yes.
No, but so I because they were like, well, what do you want to talk about? Joe's got an interesting story.
Yes, he does.
So I said, so let's talk about Joe. So then you got to flesh it out. So Joe has to be involved. Certain aspects of it, I have to be fucking involved.
Right.
Because... you know, I've lived these things with Joe.
Yeah.
And there's certain aspects of the script that I know better than anybody in the career.
How long have you guys been married?
Joe and I, it's been a long marriage. and there's certain aspects that Chip knows better. So we're kind of, if you want to do the show properly and not make it some generic watered down schlock.
Right.
If you want it fucking gritty
and
funny and completely different
and...
not like anything out there. You kind of need us, the three of us, on some level.
Yes, I agree. I mean, I envision the show with Pamela Adlon, who was writing it with oh my God, it's really bad when your brain goes away. The guy who was peeing in masturbating in front of other comedians and peeing in bushes, and not that guy. Red hair comedian.
Carrot Top?
No.
TJ Miller? I don't know who the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, you do.
No, I really don't.
Oh. Yeah, you know, and then
Louis C.K.
Thank you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so Pamela Adlon and Louis C.K. wrote this show, and I'm trying to remember what the name of it is. But it's about, basically, Pamela Adlon is the actress. That's her character as an actress, and she has three daughters, and it's about her life and, you know, raising the daughters and putting up with the mom that lives across the street, but it's gritty as hell. And sometimes it's not exactly linear the way things are going, the way that her character talks. It's funny, but it's not in the laugh track kind of funny. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's fascinating, but it's also, I mean, I don't think it's based on her life, but there are aspects of her in it you can see when you see her speak. It's like, oh, some of that is you. And I'm thinking that this is like almost, in my mind, a companion piece to that show.
Oh, interesting. Well, I mean, our show, if it ever gets made, it really is going to depend on the lead, which is Joe. Joe's character is the lead. You really need a tremendous actor. I said to Joe, I go, listen, I don't know how, I have no idea how good of a bad of an actor you are. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I've never seen you act.
Yeah,
but we're going to need somebody tremendous in it because there's so many emotions.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had people read the script where they go, they're like, they could feel the tension and the stress from the words. I mean, that's some of the feedback. I go, we're getting that reaction and nobody's seen the shit.
Right.
And Joe goes, you know what? I don't think I could do it because I'm just so close to it. I go, okay,
right.
Well, that's good to know that you're not even married to being the lead. Now, I think I could
I think it would be a mistake to have Joe actually be the lead in the show.
Yeah. Now, I think I could actually play my character in the show because there's not as much acting chops as involved. And it's much more... There's not as much range and it's much more realistic to what things were.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
I mean, I just need to look a little younger, which it can be fucking done easily enough. Yeah. I don't look that old for my age, so that can be done. Mm-hmm. I think I could play me, but you know what? If somebody can fucking act the hell out of me, you fucking act the hell out of me. I'll just sit there and write and collect paychecks, and
yeah,
I'm happy with that, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, with this thing, it really is going, I think if it ever gets made or we ever do a sizzle or whatever the fuck, you really need a tremendous actor to play Joe's character, because there's just so much, because it's funny, it's sad, it's angry, mm-hmm. and that's just in the first fucking pilot.
That's in the first 5 minutes.
No, I mean, you really go through a lot of fucking emotions.
Sure.
With it, and that's the way we wrote it. Now, listen, some people don't like it, and that's fine, but we've gotten a lot, the good thing is we've gotten a lot of feedback that's written well, and I've never fucking written anything like this before.
Right.
So I'm happy for that, but yeah. So anyway, so the point is, the lesson I learned from this one show is we need to get somebody with a track record attached. So, kind of circled back with Joe. And again, Joe is very, Joe likes to slow walk a lot of calling in favors.
Okay, yeah.
But I told Joe, I go, Joe, I think this is worth it. I think the project is that good.
Yes.
I think it could get made.
I agree. I mean, there have been some things where I kind of understand why he would be hesitant, because it's like there's so many different things that projects and things that a person can work on, and you're like, I don't know, but I think that this show has legs.
I think so too.
I really did.
I think
enjoy reading the script.
Thank you. I think it's very relatable to a lot of people, but also extremely unique, because if you know Joe. Joe's a unique animal unto himself.
No, he totally is. I mean, because
as we all are.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's funny because there's a whole group of people, writers, who write shows about people in show business in one level or another,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you'd think that everybody in America is in show business because there's so many shows about it. But the thing is that it's a really good marriage between his quote unquote real life and his show business life. You know, like,
yeah,
he's an average Joe on one level and so not average Joe on,
yeah,
on others,
mean, and,
you know?
And it really takes a look at perception, how people perceive you and how you perceive yourself.
Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of layers to it. I mean, Chip and I did the majority of the writing because Joe just couldn't always get there. Joe did some of the writing with us, and everything was always run by Joe.
Yeah.
But I think Chip and I did a good job of capturing the essence of Joe, which is what the show is really about.
I could picture it, which is a really good thing when I'm reading a script or a book. And if I have a pretty good imagination as a reader. You know, I can get into the world.
You haven't even seen
the
latest version. It's even more streamlined. We cut down a lot of stuff.
Oh,
out of certain scenes.
Yeah, read the newer version.
We've added musical elements to it now.
Oh, I'd like to read the newer version. Yeah. But I could picture, like, there were scenes where and just now we were talking about it, the scene of the show popped into my head, and it's not a real show, but I already, like,
well, the next
have
the
it in my head.
The next step for the three of us, Joe, Chip, and myself, is we're going to have a table read.
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed, we should video record it. Go, let's have them do a table read. Let's see how it flows. And this will be the time we go, all right, something doesn't flow. This is the last time we go underneath the hood and work it. Or we go, you know what? This fucking flows. We like it. This is what we're going with. So that's the thing we want to do. Give it to some strangers. Do the table read. People mm-hmm. who are not attached to it. Because at this point, Chip, Joe, and myself are attached to it. We've worked, especially Chip and I, put a lot of hours. But Joe, too. Joe's put hours in. Joe's driven. And it's Joe's aspects of it are Joe's life.
It's Joe.
So it's all of our babies. We're all emotionally invested in
it.
Yeah. So you definitely want to see it in the hands of other people without direction.
Right.
And then you go, all right, does this work? Does this not work? So that's the next thing. But yeah, I believe in that. So we'll see what happens with that. And I'm kind of vague with this shit because there's no point in talking about it if nothing happens.
I know. Well, no, it's good to be purposefully vague about some aspects of it.
I'm sure, for instance, Joe's girl knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But the average person who's listening to this show, I'm giving you just enough information.
Yes, yes. And you have to do that. Sometimes
we are
a show about being frank and above board, you know, like open about a lot of things. But even with that, you know, if you think of yourself as just a normal human being, there are certain things that you don't tell. You don't want to give away trade secrets in a way when you're working on a project. There are certain things in your life you just cannot say on the air because you will have no relationships left.
But then again, you know? But that is us. But then again, there are other people that will say anything. I will give you an example.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I went to a Mets game with a couple friends.
Yeah, okay.
Last week, and one of my friends had extra tickets. He brought a bunch of his people, including his son.
Okay.
He rents a minivan. We all go in together.
Son being little? Big?
My friend is in his 50s.
Okay.
His son is 37.
Okay. I needed a friend because I'm like, are you talking about a six-year-old? What are we doing?
So we go to Citi Field, which is in Queens, to watch the Mets. By there, there's this Korean neighborhood.
Okay.
He keeps on saying, I want to go to the Korean neighborhood, get some food before. I'm like, okay. And so he goes, have you ever eaten Korean food before? I'm like, no. And I'm like, yeah, I have when I was in Korea. Stupid.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, as it turns
from
out.
From the source.
As it turns out, I most certainly did.
I went to their mothership.
Yes. But he's like talking about, all in the car, his son next to him, about these rub and tug places. Do you know what a rub and tug is?
I do.
A rub and tug, for those of you, the uninitiated, is a massage place where you go in for a massage for like $40 and you get a happy ending. A happy ending is when you get manually stimulated, you get jerked off.
Mm-hmm.
That is a rub and tug place. He is talking about how he goes to these rub and tug places in front of his son. Now, he's not with his son's mother.
Okay, yeah. But still.
I'm just like, wow. And then
they have an exceptionally frank relationship.
Yes, I am very uncomfortable with this. And then later on, he's talking about how this one time he went to this rub and tug place and he was on his back, and then he turned over to his stomach,
mm-hmm.
and the woman, the Asian woman, Korean or Chinese, I don't know, I wasn't there, thank goodness, goes, mm-hmm. okay, I'll be right back, gets some tissues, cleans up his butt, and manually stimulates his prostate.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, oh yeah, you're a good girl. And she goes, and you're a good man. And I'm like, oh my God. This conversation is happening in front of your son. Talk about being open. So folks, I apologize. I am not that level of open. Although I did reveal to you I screamed like a girl last week, so in my defense. And I might talk to you about rubbing and tugging. But I swear to God, I've never been to one.
But I'm not your daughter.
No, yeah. You're not. I don't think I could go. I don't think I could go to a rub and tug place. I most certainly could not talk about it.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here.
you're a good girl.
Yeah, you're a good man. I am not reacting to the fact that she manually stimulated his prostate.
Oh, I reacted to that. I didn't even know this was a thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean. How do I put this? I knew about this.
Really?
Yeah.
You are much more worldly than I am.
I knew about this. And I...
I like, by the way, how we went from Joe's life to rubbing and tugging. That is segues, kids.
It's a beautiful segue.
It's a talent.
And I'm just glad the frog is gone because I would be completely a ball of like weeping and crying at this point with the riveting and the rubbing and tugging. Okay, it's like succulent meat. I would be done.
Oh, gosh. So, get the tarp out early. Segment one.
Yeah. So I was just thinking.
So you were familiar with this whole prostate stimulation thing at these rub-and-tug massage places?
Yes. I didn't know that they do the prostate stimulation at these rub-and-tug places. I knew that those places existed.
I think we all knew they existed.
Yeah, of course. And I have never known anyone who admitted to going to one of them.
Admit, wouldn't stop talking about it.
I mean, I don't...
The son's asking questions about it.
I think that this is, like, harmless to go to one of them.
Is it cheating? If you're in a relationship.
No.
Really?
Not to me.
Really? So if Mr. Helix just needs to, on the way home from work, you know, he had a bad fucking day, stops off to get a little $40 massage with a happy ending, you're good.
I mean, we would have to have a conversation if I was home and, like, not ill, why, you know, he went someplace else for that.
Interesting.
But if it was like, I'm on vacation, and he's just like, oh, you know.
Well, you know, he does have his own hands.
Yeah,
that is an alternative.
I know, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I it's not like he's buying her flowers and writing her letters. Kimchi, I love you so much.
But my buddy would go. You know. My buddy would go back to the same place where he knew the woman.
He knew the woman. Yeah. Well, they had conversations. So, I mean, you know, he. He had a favorite person, but then again, is he in a relationship?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah, especially.
No, I understand, but
somebody not in a relationship.
But I'm saying, if you're in a relationship, is this okay?
I mean, I'm not speaking for every woman on the planet. I know there's a lot of women that would be like, "Are you fucking high?" You know, but no. I mean, with certain circumstances, if it became like. A weekly thing,
His weekly thing.
Going there instead of to me, then we'd have to have a conversation about it. But it's like, if it was like, you know, I'm ill and I don't want to touch you, but I understand that you're human and you need some kind of release, and you're going there instead of going to a prostitute where you're going to bring diseases home.
What's the difference between this? What's the difference between this and a prostitute? A little body oil?
No, it's it. No, I mean like no, because then like.
Well, he can go to a prostitute, they'll jerk you off, I assume.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying, but I would assume that if you went to a prostitute, you might get much more. A rub and tug, I don't have a
problem. So rub and tug is the line?
Yeah.
What about the stimulating the prostate?
Me, well, you know what? Go for it, girl. You're probably a lot better at that than me.
All right, yeah, very, very open of you.
Yeah, I mean...
I would assume that would be looked at as cheating.
I'm sure that a lot of people would find that as cheating, but
I don't know.
I mean, if we had a conversation is like, you know, every once in a while, if like you're not around or, you know, like you're on vacation or you're away for work or something, and I'm just like, I had the worst day, I need to just blow off some steam, if you will, and it's this girl that he pays to do it, that, you know, it's just like, it's just a release. Go for it.
Interesting.
If you had a girlfriend, I am taking off my hoops on my heels, and bitch is going to die.
So the difference for you is money has changed hands.
I don't have a knee-jerk reaction to sex work as being something that's immoral or should be illegal.
No, I'm not. This has nothing to do with that conversation.
No.
Is this cheating in a relationship?
I mean, I'm not the one to define it for everybody.
No, I'm talking about for you.
For me.
Interesting.
No. If I know about it, and if it's just that, I'm okay with that.
Interesting. See, I know I could not function there because I remember it being younger, strip clubs made me uncomfortable. I went, but right. They made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, when people would get me a lap dance, that made me uncomfortable. I'm very awkward. So I don't see how I could walk in and...
Relax enough.
Yes. First of all, I don't even like massages. I never go get a massage. Don't want to be touched.
Oh, I think on that tip, you're missing out.
No, I don't want to be touched.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm fine.
I have a good friend that, you know, when my girls and I go away and like certain places, like there's this one massage place that we would go and we would set up appointments and, you know, and we went there a couple times and like a couple years in a row, and I got the same person, and it was so funny because it's like I remembered like stuff we talked about and everything. It had been a year ago, and
you made a friend.
Yeah, but it was just like, what a difference after somebody is just like really kneading your back and those muscles that are so tense. Like if I was a rich person, I would definitely have a masseuse on staff. But one of my girlfriends won't go. She's uncomfortable, like you.
No, I don't want to be touched. That doesn't feel good to me.
Nothing wrong
with
that.
I don't want anybody touching me. I don't want to, even people I know, I don't want them massaging me.
No,
leave me alone.
No, I know. No, oh, yeah. you're not like a really, like you're not a big hugger.
No.
Kind of guy, you know?
I don't even want to shake hands.
I know. That's why I steer clear of
and,
you.
And I, it's appreciated. And,
out of respect.
It's appreciated.
I'm more of a hugger, but I leave you alone. It's not that I love you any less I love Joe, but I'll hug Joe before I will you because you're like, oh, get off!
I hug you back.
You, if I hug you, you hug back. I'm not saying that you're standing like, get go off.
That's
me,
that
off
my
of
kid
me.
Is like that. She's a non-hug.
She's like, get off of me.
People go to hug her.
You just put your arms down like you're not even going to wrap the arms around.
That's what she does.
Really?
She's much worse than I am.
That would make me uncomfortable. Like I've just assaulted them.
No, that, my daughter's much. Oh no, I'll hug you back.
Yeah, no, you hug back.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
very awkward. I don't know.
I keep it down. Like twice a year. I don't want to overwhelm you.
But I don't know. Are we hugging? Are we kissing on the cheek? Are we fist bumping? It's like,
I know.
I'm very awkward in that. You know.
Oh, dude. I can't.
Like friends will say, "I love you." I can't say that bad. Like I go. You know, I'll say it back because I
love you, man. And you're
yeah, it's like thank you. I mean, I'm very
like what? What's? Oh, yeah.
Not because I'm damaged, but I'm damaged in a functional way, so it really doesn't affect other people. So you're welcome, society. But I own it. But I've said that from the beginning. I'm very damaged.
I'm damaged in a lot of ways. I'm a hugger, but I also like hugs are okay. But then there's other times where my really close friends that I've let into my force field, like they could like, you know, touch my arm or, you know, put their arm around me or hit me or something, you know, it's like because I trust them. But like if I'm someplace, you know how like you wouldn't do it, but you've seen in social settings, like a woman's passing through someplace and a guy will put his hand on the lower of her back or on her arm as she's going by, like in a party or something. I'm like, get your fucking mitts off me.
No, I wouldn't.
But
I don't do that. I will touch somebody in a comforting way because I want them to feel better.
Yeah.
But it does, like, I'm not doing it because I have the need to necessarily touch somebody, which makes it very hard for people that are close with me. I understand this.
Yeah, I understand that about you. I don't.
Like, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm like, that's why I'm like, I don't like go over and you know, oh, I hi.
And it doesn't mean I like somebody any less than somebody who hugs. It's just,
I don't know
why. I'm broken that way, and it's fine. And I can function. I can hug. You know, if we're going to hug, we're going to kiss. I can fucking do that. I mean, you know.
Davin, I know you love me. You don't have to say it. I absolve
you. You know
of
I love you because I nobody fucking fought harder for your help than I did. Fucking
oh, no, not that.
No, we're not going to redo it again. But week after week, I was fighting for what I thought was best for you.
Yeah, and you do. I mean, like, I was upset recently, and you teased me online, but you reached out, and you're like, what's wrong?
Yeah, you know? You didn't answer that, by the way.
No, I couldn't at the moment. I was just like...
I assumed. Or you lost your phone. That's always what I assume with you, because both
I lost my phone today.
Yeah, of course. Those are both very viable options with you. Either she doesn't want to talk with it, or she lost her phone. Both are equally potential of happening.
I didn't want to talk about it, but
I don't
notice it and appreciate it.
I don't push.
You know?
But yeah, but I mean, but so
not
I could...
everybody's comfortable with the huggy-feely, and I get awkward, too. I was at a wedding years ago, and my good friend's dad was there, and it, you know, it's a wedding, so people are more like touchy-feely and huggy and stuff, and I didn't know how to do it right because my family wasn't like super like that, and you know, God knows we didn't socialize with other humans because, you know, we had mom.
I imagine your brother being very huggy.
Yeah, he is,
because he's a very gregarious person when he likes somebody.
Yes He's a big hugger.
When he's a big personality, your brother.
Yes, he is.
So I would imagine that he would be more comfortable in that than you, who's more comfortable than I.
he's sensitive, but he also, I think that it's not to go too far askew, but part of like growing up in a household where you have, you know, like a adult children of alcoholics, or you have mentally ill people, it's you become so afraid that the shit is going to hit the fan at every moment. You become an emotion sponge. You can read the room. Like, you can walk in someplace and you know it's tension, and immediately you can figure out it's between who.
Interesting.
You go, whoop, oh, shit.
So back in 2013, when Joe and I were at each other's throats, those must have been some really fucking hard shows.
Excruciating.
Yeah, well, thank God it's been like fucking 6 years.
It has been, but that stuff really...
Now you only have to deal with that one segment at a time at most.
Yeah, it's like...
then we're on to the next.
Oh, that story's over, thank Christ! You know.
And you never know which story's going to set us off.
No, you don't know. I mean, it's like a drop.
But it doesn't carry over from segment to segment, week to week.
No. As a matter of fact, we'll go to break and you guys are laughing. And I'm like, how the fuck are they laughing? They were just about to kill each other.
Because we're men.
Yeah,
I know. We just put it behind us.
You do. And I'm like, oh my God, if this was women, we would be discussing this.
If Joe and I held real grudges, we couldn't be friends because we disagree on some things so much.
So fundamentally.
Yeah. Where I tell him on the air, I go, you're a much worse person than I am. I'm not fucking talking out of school. I go, because that's what I fundamentally believe. But on the other hand, I love him. He's my friend. He's been my friend for over 20 years.
Yeah.
But there are aspects of him I think he's dead wrong and I think he's terrible. And he might probably thinks that about me too, which is fine. But we compartmentalize.
I know. Women do not do that. I have a little group of friends where we recognize each other's foibles and we excuse them because we love each other and we've been through a lot of shit together, you know? But there's other women that will be dissected in minute particles and lunched out on for weeks to come. That's a woman offense.
Thing.
Yeah, that'll go on forever.
I'm very good at, all right, I'm just going to fucking bury this. Now, I remember everything, except for a lot of the shit which I don't remember, which happens to be a great deal. But
I remember everything except for the stuff I don't.
No, but if I've been wrong, I remember like feeling hurt or wronged.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain aspects that I don't forget, but I move past it because what are you going to do? Fight with everybody forever? It's not worth it. So I look at the bigger picture.
It's funny because, oh God, that friggin' frog is
frog
back.
Wants to chime in. Third
like,
mic.
Yes, it's like, yeah. No,
Joe's not going to be here. We'll put the fucking mic in front of the frog.
Joe's going to be here in 15 minutes. I'm just saying.
It's not
like,
your
you know,
fault.
I got the Joe's Girl report just now.
Chopper Joe hovering above.
So I forgot where we started with all this, but it's interesting.
Rubbing and tugging.
Oh my God! Yeah, we did.
I'm just fascinated that you're like totally cool with it. Mr. Helix is going to have the best Vegas time ever. We're going to Vegas next weekend, kids.
There are some things where I'm really non-traditional, and there's other things that it's like that would really bother me. I mean, like full on intercourse would be.
You're jealous.
Would be hard.
You and I have had conversations off air.
Sure.
Most people might not know about you. So, but the fact that I know that aspect of you, like, eh, a little release, that's fine. Just pick up some Wendy's on the way home.
Yeah. As long as you give me the chicken sandwich I like, we're good.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, all right. So you are much more functional than I am in that way. I can't even go into these places. I'd feel uncomfortable waiting for somebody. I'd feel uncomfortable. I would go into this place and get a regular fucking massage. That's how pathetic I am. I'd be like, oh, that was a nice massage. I guess time's up. No, I'm not taking off my drawers. What type of man do you think I am?
Well, I, for myself, oh no.
So you can never have somebody manually stimulate you after they worked on your shoulders and lower back.
No.
Okay.
No. I would be so uptight about it. I would be really awkward like you. I wouldn't even be able to drive somebody there and sit in the waiting room with a magazine. I would just be like, oh my God, I know what's going on back there.
I am amazed.
It would make me so awkward.
I am amazed I've slept with people on the first night with all my fucking hangups.
Me too.
You're amazed that I've slept with people on the first
night? Yes. No. I mean, like, you know, like one night stands, I'm like, how did that even happen? Because I'm so awkward and like, you know, like I used to explain to people because Mr. Helix and I were together for like 9 years before we got married. And I used to explain to people we moved.
8 years before you had sex.
I explained to people we moved glacially.
That's fine.
You know, and it's true. Because, you know, I mean, my parents didn't exactly model a great relationship. And he had been married before. And, you know, I guess he had some cold feet about that, too. But and there wasn't like a big reason to jump into it right away. We're both older. Nobody's going to have kids. There was no biological clock ticking. So we were OK with that. But the thing was, you know, before Mr. Helix, there are people that I'm like, why did I do that? Well, probably because I didn't know them well. I was just like, oh, you know, just do it and then take off.
I'm amazed I did it because I was not thinking about it. I barely know this person. I'll never see me. Like, wow, I'm going to get fucking laid.
Yeah, but. Yeah.
But I didn't get laid enough because I wouldn't talk to people. I was my you know, it's still there. I don't know how I would talk to people. I don't.
Well, we both talked about this. We have no game.
No.
You know?
But surprisingly enough, if I actually start talking to somebody, the person who I'm talking to, I can get them naked fairly quickly.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Fairly quickly. Well, except for my first, you know, real girlfriend that, you know, well, I got her naked quickly enough, but whatever. But yeah, I mean, so the game was that good. But
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, whatever. Thank God I don't got to deal with that shit no more.
I'm just a big bunch of squirrely neuroses. I don't think that I could. I mean, I can have nice conversations with strangers because I'm not expecting anything or trying for anything. Like,
right.
I could sit at a bar and I have done so, you know, had conversations with the men sitting around me and everything, but I'm not trying to get laid, and I'm wearing a wedding ring and I'll bring up my husband right away so that they know what the score is, and we'll just talk about the bullshit you know, everyday
bullshit. Yeah, I don't
bullshit.
Talk to anybody. I don't talk to
you
anybody.
Know?
I would be at strip clubs
talking.
Watching the fucking baseball game, please. No, that's true. That's, yeah. I've told that story before.
Yeah.
96, me and my buddy Scott, we would go to a strip club, and the Yankees were having a really good season. This was like the first year they won the World Series. And girls would be like wanting to fucking talk us up, obviously, because we are amazing gentlemen. No, because, you know, they want to make money. We're like,
sure.
Game's on, stupid. Oh, we really like this song. Is this your song, your name? Oh, we love this album. And that's actually how we became friends with one of the strippers, just because we were so fucking indifferent. She, like, bought us VIP memberships. So, like, we get,
seriously?
Yeah.
Because, well,
and we bought her a Kiss concert t-shirt, and then she disappeared. But anyway.
But they get sick of
Ashton.
They get sick of people, like drooling all over them.
Yeah.
That's gotta be tiresome.
I can only imagine.
I can't imagine. There was a great South Park episode where poor little Butters goes, there's what was it? It was instead of Hooters.
Oh, that's a classic episode.
The
yeah.
play was called Raisins.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, like all the little South Park girls are working in this restaurant and they have little breasts, but
yeah.
But he but see, that's but Butters is like I was in a way. It's like, oh wow, a girl's talking to me, she must like me.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no,
I know. And
true.
And every girl that does those kind of jobs, there's always somebody hanging around going, want a date? And she's like, oh, honey, do you just not get what this is?
Never asked a stripper for a date. Never asked a waitress for a date. Did walk into a Dunkin' Donuts. Asked the girl for a date. That went horribly wrong.
Oh, now what happened there?
Remember my old apartment in Garfield?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. There was like a Dunkin' Donuts like several miles, several blocks away.
I don't
off the
remember,
main
but they're always in.
Yeah, so a bunch of the guys were at my house drinking, and we went there.
Mm-hmm.
Dunkin' Donuts. She seemed pretty and
mm-hmm.
nice. Probably Polish. I think she's blonde. There's a lot of Polish people in that area.
Yeah, no.
Went
that,
back, and they came back with me.
Area.
I think I asked her for her number or something. And I got shot down. And you want to do that in front of a live studio audience.
Oh,
I always say, if you're
yeah.
going to get shot down, make sure there's witnesses. But at least I tried.
Yeah, you know what? Good for you for trying.
Yeah, good for me. You got shot down by a fucking Dunkin' Donuts girl. Ugh.
That doesn't mean that she's trash.
Ugh, but Dunkin' Donuts girl.
This is
before everybody was running on Dunkin'. This is before they were known for their coffee. Fucking in a shit town, shot down by a Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe I should have walked over. Maybe I should have fucking driven. I could drive at that time. Loser.
You don't know,
though. Well, now I'll tell you what. I never asked that another Dunkin' Donuts girl.
Well, the Dunkin' Donuts girl could be working there while she's working on her college degree. You know what I mean? And
well,
then she goes out and does
after that,
fabulous things.
After I learned Dunkin' Donuts is just for coffee and donuts and bagels for me. There's not for me. I learned.
I know.
I remember one time in college I asked a girl out. Pretty brunette? No, neither. Oh, what about, you're busy that day? What about such and such day? No, not that one either. Okay. I guess we're still going to be in the same class and it's going to be awkward. All right, that's fine.
It's like you're going to be washing your hair.
But at least I tried.
Yeah, I mean,
I was in the game.
I would not very often, but I would take a liking to somebody, and I would, you know, try everything, you know, that I didn't.
Should try to rub and tug.
Yeah, I know. It would have been much more popular. But, you know, I would try everything to get their attention and to, you know, get them to see my sparkling personality. Oh, boy. But, you know, I've never been, you know, really pretty. The jugs came much later in life. I had nothing. And
a gift to Mr. Helix.
Yeah. It's like, here you go, honey. Yeah, no, they came
out. Sprouted for you.
Yeah, they came out of nowhere. And but, you know, it's like no boobs. Kind of a big butt for then. Nothing for today's big butts. But, I mean, I was, you know, I had some mini muffins going on that were, and being skinny was the thing in my cultural milieu. And I was not up to snuff with that.
Skinny's always good.
I know, but it's just like, but I was not skinny.
I get it.
You know? It's hard. So it's like, but there was no such thing as, you know, people loving Kardashian butts back then. It was like, if you had a big butt, it was like, You know, the only people that really liked me were, like, the Hispanic guys liked me.
Yeah.
Black dudes liked
me.
But I wasn't
into that.
Not as individuals. I mean, there were
you're
a
racist,
lot of people.
And that's fine.
Oh, God.
It's fine.
I mean, there wasn't. I mean, I did go out on, you know, dates with, you know, a Hispanic guy, a black guy.
For
blah,
research
blah, blah.
Purposes.
Yes, of course. Just sociological experiments.
I understand.
But the thing was that a lot of times, if there was like a white dude that I liked, he wanted nothing to do with me because it's like, I got big butt and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny.
I danced that song wearing in freshman, wearing women's clothing in front of the whole school in college.
Why?
Because I was pledging a fraternity.
Oh, my God.
And a girl who I became friends with, who I was friends with, who I met on, what's it when you go, not interrogation, when you fucking, not initiation, when you go over the summer
and
you learn about the school,
yeah,
they bring in all the freshmen, whatever.
Oh my God,
I can't remember the word. But anyway, I think her name was Ro. Was her name Ro? No, her name wasn't Ro. I don't remember what her fucking name was, but I did then. And we were friends, so I had a knock on her door and ask if I could borrow her bra for this. That was a freshman.
Can I borrow your bra?
Yeah, which is kind of ballsy, right? And she gave it to a lovely girl.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah, I think we won. I think it was a talent contest. We really didn't have a choice in whether we were going to enter or not because we were pledging a fraternity.
When a pledge walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a big thing in your face, you get sprung.
Yeah. Yeah, so a bunch of guys. You know, back before everybody was gender fluid and dressing however the fuck they wanted, we were just fucking
at the eye roll I got about gender fluid during Pride Month, you. What
did I do?
Yeah, you just rolled your eyes so hard, like, that's not a thing.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You just said, like, when everybody was gender fluid, and you rolled your eyes really hard.
Whatever.
Yeah, you know.
You know what? Because just fucking be you. I don't need you to fucking label it. Just do you. I don't give a shit what you're doing. I could care fucking less, but just get out of my face with it. Not that I can't see. It's just I'm not fucking interested. I'm not interested in heterosexual people being their best themselves. I'm not interested in gay people being their best themselves or gender fluid people or playing on both teams. I don't give a shit. Fucking get the fuck out of my way. I got shit to do. And the last thing I need is a fucking parade tying up traffic.
Oh, God.
But that's me. But I don't want you to be oppressed. I feel like you should get to live your best life. But I feel like you living your best life doesn't need to be in my fucking face. Whatever it is. I don't care. And I get understand that oppressed people feel the need because we're oppressed and we're proud and we're here. I get it. But one of the reasons why people oppress you is because you're fucking annoying.
Oh, my God.
No, it's true. Anybody who has a parade is fucking annoying to somebody. It's just true. St. Patrick's Day, fucking drunk mix all over the place. Fucking annoying. Gay Pride Parade. You know what? Nobody needs to be walking their kid and seeing a guy with his fucking ball sack hanging out. Israeli Day Parade, you're tying up traffic. Now more people fucking hate Jews. Good fucking job. I mean, we don't need... Anytime there's a parade, you're pissing somebody off because you're in somebody's face. Just do you. We don't need a fucking parade. Nobody likes marching to... You know, the only parade we fucking need is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade because you know what? We just fucking know it's going to happen and there's marching bands and there's fucking Bullwinkle and everybody likes a huge Bullwinkle and Woody Woodpecker crashing into a building. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
But if you're going to have a parade, we don't fucking need it. You're annoying somebody. Knock it off.
Well, New Yorkers feel like this, especially because
the Puerto Ricans, they have their fucking parade. You know what? Have your fucking parade. Well, if I want to see Puerto Ricans, I go to the fucking Bronx. You don't need a parade. It's called the Cross Bronx Expressway, and I'm fucking stuck in it. We don't need a parade. There's 20 cars of Puerto Ricans in front of me. It's not a big fucking deal.
That is the parade.
Yeah, the parade stop is fucking three more of them selling oranges on the side of the road and going to the Yankee game. They're selling bottled water for $1, which is a good fucking deal because it's ice cold and it's going to cost you $6.75 inside Yankee Stadium. But again, we don't need a fucking parade. Just do you. I don't need a parade for anybody. I don't need fucking pride. I don't need pussy hats. I don't need you fucking outside 12 hours because Donald Trump is coming to town like he's Jesus fucking Christ. He's having a rally. It holds 20,000 people. I don't need you camping overnight to see Donald fucking Trump. You can't avoid Donald Trump. No American can avoid Donald Trump.
The whole world can't avoid Donald
Trump.
No, he's
all over the place. So we don't need you lining the fucking streets a day ahead of time. Just do you. Love the president. That's fine. Love being gay. Love your Irish heritage. Love fucking Israel. I don't give a shit. Just get out of my face.
Thank you. Good night.
Am I wrong?
We'll be back next week. If you like us, tell a friend.
Because of what you say with the gay pride. Gay pride. You're fucking proud. Put some clothing on.
Yeah. I really can't take you seriously in assless chaps.
I don't even take a biker named Snake seriously in assless chaps. I don't take. You know what? If you're wearing fucking leather and a fucking leather mask with a spiked dildo on your head, I'm not taking your movement seriously. I get it. You're trying to be outrageous, but we've been doing this shit for 30 years. Yeah. We get it. You're not outrageous. You're primetime on HBO. We fucking get it. And it's not anti-gay. It's anti-everything. We get it. You want to be accepted? Stop being an asshole.
Or showing it.
Yes! So that's why you got your eye roll, Pip. That's why I fucking rolled my eyes.
All of that over an eye roll.
Yeah.
Well, no, because she was talking about something gender fluid, and I rolled my eyes at her, and I didn't even realize I did it, and Pip called me out, so she fucking set me off.
Gotcha.
Because it's
that's my job here.
Right.
You know, it's another thing. Pete Buttigieg is running for president. Happens to be a gay candidate. Who the fuck cares? I don't give a shit who he's fucking. I don't care because I'm a fucking evolved. I want to hear about his policy. I want to hear how he would handle Donald Trump. I want to hear how he would handle Iran. I want to hear how he handle the other Democrats. I don't care about, oh my God, he might be the first guy we have a first husband in the White House. I don't give a shit.
Because it's identity politics, and the way things are going right now, he's like old school. he's not progressive enough, you know?
Listen, the guy's
so nuts it's gotten.
No, yeah, but the guy's fucking smart, and I like smart. I don't give a shit who he's fucking. That's what the pride is. That's what equality is. That's where I have evolved to. I don't give a shit what your race is, your religion, your ethnicity. I don't give a shit about any of that.
Yeah, but that's progress.
Yeah, that's where progress. I am. So get the fuck out.
Not everybody's there.
I know, and the rest of you suck. That's just it. Fucking get there. If everybody would get there, we wouldn't have these stupid fucking parades.
Thank you.
Get where?
To where we don't give a shit. We don't give a shit who's somebody fucking, who's somebody's religion, where somebody's from.
You know what? That's the whole media push behind everything. You know, I mean, it's like there's a lesbian couple that lives next door to me.
Uh-huh.
Is that how you refer to them? The lesbian couple
that lives
next door? Yeah, I don't think you're really there yet.
Good
I mean,
morning,
I understand
dykes,
you're doing it
you
for
know?
The purpose of this story, but I feel like whenever you talk about them, you refer to them as the lesbian couple. I understand why you have to do it here for this show.
Well,
the girls. What was
on
topic?
The girls.
What am I going to do?
The girls is fine.
But, yeah. But they're very lovely. She made me, you know, one of them made me some food when I first moved in. I don't go, it's the lesbian couple. They're nice people. They're neighbors. They live next door. They don't, you know. Hi, how are you? How's it going? Good, Joe. How are you?
Yeah.
As long as they keep a nice lawn, you're happy.
Yes.
Really? Because look at how they edge that. That's
because
nice
as conservative
right
and ass backwards as you are in many things, you're socially liberal.
Yeah, you know, he is.
But that's from being in the Northeast. Because we're exposed to it all. Because it's really hard to be anti-gay, racist, anti-Semite, you know, anti-Puerto Rican, whatever the fuck. It's really hard to do that where we live.
Well, they're your neighbors.
It's hard to do that where we live.
Yeah, they're the people you work with, they're the people you live
in
with.
In the profession, in the entertainment business, which Joe and I are tangentially involved with somehow.
Somehow.
Good way to describe it. We make that an intro.
Yeah. Because you can't be if you want to function.
Right.
And so, like, if you...
But the thing is that you're not kowtowing to it. Who gives a shit?
I don't. And you don't. But there's still people that do.
Yeah,
and
they do.
And because of those fucking people, we need goddamn parades.
That's true.
If they would get on board, we wouldn't need them to get on board the fucking float. It's just the way... You know, if people would realize that there was racism, that there is racism, maybe we wouldn't need fucking Black History Month. Maybe it would just be, hey, this is a part of our history that we need to recognize.
It would just all be combined history.
Yes.
Our history is people.
But we're not there yet.
No, we're not.
Which is why we got to keep on, you know, as Joe would call it, identity politics, if you will, because people haven't fucking evolved. And because you haven't evolved, I'm fucking tied up in traffic because streets I need to get to are closed down. Fuck you.
by people wearing tutus.
I don't give a shit what they're wearing. Get the fuck out of the way. I got to get across town. I don't give a shit. I'm never happy to see a parade.
Well, no, people are not happy when they're in a car. It's very, very annoying.
I tell you, when I was a kid, we used to have the Elwood Day Parade.
The what now?
The Elwood Day Parade.
Oh, that sounds like a festive time.
It was. And the Memorial Day
Parade. Did you wear your Elwood Pride tutu?
No. But the thing about it is that you used to watch, like, Russia, and Russia would have, like, tanks and missile launches. And
yeah.
Soldiers.
Well, that's what the president wants.
But the thing about it is that I watched the parade that we would have in our neighborhood, and there's ambulances and fire trucks. I don't think we're going to win a war.
We're not winning a war.
We could pick up after it, though.
Yeah. That's what the president wants, going down fucking Pennsylvania Boulevard.
He does.
But because that's what totalitarian countries do. So, yes, you were comparing Elwood to totalitarian countries.
Yes.
So they had tanks and you had freedom. I think it's a fair trade-off, Joe. after the parade, you had to get a fucking, you got to get a slice of pizza, not listen to our dear leader. So I think Elwood won.
Oh, my God. This is my Facebook post today.
What was your Facebook?
It was our dear leader wants to be a totalitarian leader.
Well, this is not news.
He wants everybody to bow down to him like they do in Korea. It's like,
the way, I want the same thing for myself.
Yeah, I know you do.
I've been trying to get that on this show.
Yeah,
I can't
not
even
happening.
Manage that.
No.
I need to send you motherfuckers to a gulag. Make you watch a parade.
That's what we're in.
This is no gulag. You have no idea what torture is.
No, I don't.
But you keep it up.
Well, actually, I do. I remember those couple of months that I struggled with my crazy roommate. I know what torture is.
Yeah.
You struggled with torture, Rob, about fucking 19 years.
I bow to you,
but you took
sir.
A vow. You had no choice.
Mm. Yeah.
And she had half your shit. Pip just didn't have an exit strategy. She was like us in the Middle East. Seemed like a good idea going in, but how the fuck do we get out?
Yeah.
And I guess now we're going back in. We're sending more troops. Yay. Anyway. All right, so I had other shit, interesting shit I wanted to talk about, but there's nary time for that because we have other shit we need to talk about tonight.
There's other shit.
So I guess another time we'll have to talk about my encounter with the other dimension.
What?
That'll have to be next week, I guess.
Yeah.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. I think I'll have to hold off
your
on
encounter
that.
With another dimension?
Yes.
Well, you stepped through a time door?
No. We've talked about these things before.
Yeah.
Ghosts and spirits in this sort.
Oh, yeah.
So I may have had an encounter. But we'll have to share it for another week. Because there's other shit to get to. Because John Stewart had an encounter with Congress. And I'm going to play all the fucking testimony.
That's a great
piece.
It's
9 minutes. I will set the story for what that was. Because we're going to do comics in the news. And the motherfucker made news.
Yeah.
And now he's fighting with Mitch McConnell. And I have my
opinion. Oh, that's yeah.
But, anyway, so we're gonna talk to him, and then we're going to revisit the conversation in lieu of John Stewart's testimony about whether comics are just, what do you call them, dancing?
Traveling clowns.
Traveling clowns.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll revisit that, and then we'll talk about a new law in New York State and the Dominican Republic and all sorts of stuff. So we might go long tonight, but I must end this now. So we will tell you about the other dimension next time. On the break, we got new music from Perry Jones with Free and the band Pull, which is a rock band out of Italy, with Recognize Me. And you can learn more about both of them at deucemusic.com.